This is the ColoradoHockey.com podcast brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. Cool hockey shirts for cool people. Go check them out, absfam.com. Today, we're talking hockey and we're talking World Cup of Hockey. These will be some random thoughts on the World Cup of Hockey, interrupted by this little sound, which means I've moved on to another thought. It happens a lot. See? Just happened right there. Okay, so here are my initial thoughts on the World Cup of Hockey. When this started, I made a little list of what I thought was going to happen. And what I thought was going to happen was a very European-style tournament with not a lot of penalties, not a lot of physical play, a whole lot of guys playing a skill game in a kind of boring way. I appreciate a good skill game, but I also appreciate effort and people banging the body and people using whatever weapons they have to combat the other team's weapons. So imagine my surprise and my happiness when Team USA came out doing the one thing that they could do with the team that they had assembled: bang the body and play tough-nosed hockey. They did exactly that, and they even took Canada down in a game like that. They really set the tone for this entire tournament, and I think that carried through right until the very end. But, as I just alluded to, I don't think that Team USA was put together that well at all. I think that they chose a lot of players that they shouldn't have chosen. They left a lot of talent sitting at home watching games, some of them tweeting some of the best tweets that I've seen so far this hockey season. Looking at you, Phil Kessel, you should have been there. For those of you who don't know what the tweet was, it went something to the effect of, "Just sitting here watching hockey with my dog, I feel like I should be doing something more important, but I can't quite put my finger on it." Team USA did exactly what everybody thought they would do, and they exited just when everybody thought that they would leave, but kudos to them for setting the tone and making this a tournament that people wanted to see. Seems like the NHL's getting lucky lately. First, John Scott bailed him out for the All-Star game, and now Team USA came and set the tone for the World Cup of Hockey, which ended up being playoff hockey before the season even started. That's pretty awesome. And in a much more biased and bitter comment, what the fuck with Eric Johnson? Why can't we get the guy on the ice a little bit? It's not like we were winning the games. Maybe try something new. How about an offensive defenseman who can skate it from one end to the other and start some offense? Whatever. Speaking of missing Avalanche players, did anyone see Varlamov ever in the locker room, practice, in a game even? I don't remember seeing him on the bench. I didn't see this guy for 1 minute anywhere. And I wonder, what happened there? Are they pissed at him? I mean, Bob played great for sure, but they couldn't put him on the ice once? I sincerely hope that Varlamov took great personal offense to this gesture and that he's going to come into this season with a fire in his belly and something to prove, because we need that from him, and I think he does have something to prove. He's going to be on a better team this year that treats him a little bit better, and I think he's going to shine. Actually, it would appear that much of the world has given up on Varley. He's been demoted to just a regular old goalie when it comes to NHL 2017, and his rating somewhere below 90, I believe. A lot of people are giving up on Varley, which makes me think that he's going to have a really good year. I think this is his chance to get it together, show some consistency, and be the matured player that he is. I don't know about you, but I think Nathan MacKinnon might have been the smoothest man on ice this entire tournament. He definitely got the highlight of the entire tournament with his OT winner, a deep pass Lundqvist that basically had the guy looking for his underwear. For being honest, I think MacKinnon was a little surprised how it all went down too. He was certainly surprised to see where the puck showed up and where he had it on the ice, but then he put on a move that makes me think that his hands have their own brain and they're even faster than his feet are. It's my understanding that the coaches didn't even tell the team that they had to win that in regulation to move on, so he probably thought that he hadn't just won that game with a brilliant OT game winner, but he thought he was moving on, so I imagine that was a bit of a buzzkill. But if MacKinnon walks away from this tournament feeling anything other than superhuman, I think he's got it wrong, because he is superhuman at this point. The sophomore slump is going away. I believe this guy's about to be for real, and he's going to be for real in a way that other teams will not appreciate, which I really appreciate. And that brings us to the last Av standing. As a matter of fact, he's skating right now in game 2 of the finals, which Canada's probably going to win, even though they were down 1-0 the last I saw. I really think that Matt Duchene has had a really good tournament, especially considering that nobody seems to think he's that good. He's like 3rd or 4th line at this point. He got a couple of goals in the game where he played a lot, but he's not on the ice a whole lot. He's being overlooked for people like Marchand, Bergeron, and a lot of other guys who are honestly really good. Again, here's my bias, but Dutchie's another guy that no matter how good he's doing, he feels like he hasn't done it until he's won the cup. And it looks like he's going to get another chance to do that with us. There's going to be trade rumors, I'm sure, but I really want to see him put it together, win that cup, and we'll see what happens from there. Pretty optimistic for a team that didn't even make the playoffs last year, right? Well, that's me, Optimistic Prime. As an Avs fan, I have to admit that it was odd to see Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Duchene on the same bench in the same uniform at this point. It's been long enough since Ryan O'Reilly jumped ship that he truly does seem like a player from a different team. To see him together, it was just kind of weird. I mean, maybe it was just me. I don't really have justification for this, but it really seemed like Ryan O'Reilly and Matt Duchene were competing and not in the creative team sports kind of way. They were sort of competing in a way that was edgy and it was kind of bringing a downer on the locker room. So when Ryan O'Reilly left, I was bummed, but it kind of seemed like an up for Matt Duchene. And in this tournament, it really seems like Ryan O'Reilly is getting a lot more fanfare from the coaches of the Canada team than Matt Duchene is. Tournaments like this make it a little bit easier to cheer for people that you don't typically cheer for, guys who are on other teams that you can't really cheer for because of that reason. Carey Price comes to mind, Bergeron comes to mind, Bernsey comes to mind, but a couple of guys that I just cannot bring myself to cheer for that I just don't like no matter what uniform they're in. You know, I really dislike Brad Marchand. He's just not my kind of guy. He's the kind of guy who starts a fight, waits for the refs to get there, and then does a sucker punch while he skates away acting super tough. Then you got Corey Perry. He's just a big douchebag. Both of these guys are guys that I really don't like, and if they were on other teams and they lost, that'd be really good. If Canada lost, that's the only way I'd really celebrate. And if they were on the United States team, well, we might have done better. But I still wouldn't like them. So if you've been watching the World Cup of Hockey with no announcers like me, you might be getting a little bit hooked, just like me. It's almost meditative to hear the sounds of the game, the crowd cheering, the puck slapping off of sticks, without that constant chatter of voices. Now trust me, I've been properly heckled by some of the broadcast people on Twitter, and kudos, you guys do a really good job, but there's times too where it would just be nice to be able to pick whether or not I wanted to hear somebody, turn it on and off like a layer on a GPS, or in Google Maps or Google Earth, if I could decide whether I wanted to hear it. Just give me the base game with all the sounds of the game, and then let me decide if I want to turn on that commentary. Maybe I want to turn on those new fancy features you've been seeing about how fast a guy is going, what the gap space is between the four penalty killers on the ice who are trying to stay in a box shape. This is all super cool stuff. I really like it, but I know some people won't. And that's why I'm thinking that it's not going to be long before we see games that are online and give us options like, hey, turn off broadcasting, turn on broadcasting, turn off those overlays, turn those back on. But what I'd really like to see, and I've said this many times before, I'd love it if I could get the on-ice chatter between the players. If we could have the players mic'd and I could pay money, extra money even, to hear them chirp and chatter and start shit and say mean things to each other, that would be worth the money. One last thought on that though. I think that there's some of the players who you think are super awesome and cool who are really some of the biggest shit talkers out there. Think Drew Doughty. There's some people out there that I've heard on a couple of these YouTube chirping and chatter things that they put out that are really just not cool. They're dirty. Not even dirty, they're mean, brutal. You can see why I'd want to pay for it. If we could make that happen, guys, that'd be great. If you know somebody, tell them. Thanks. Remember how I told you I was watching the game? Well, guess what? Canada just tied it up with 3 minutes left. Now, it looks like it could have been a high stick from Bergeron that put it in, but it could be a 1-1 game. Either way, even with 2 minutes and 53 seconds left in this game, I still think Canada's going to win the entire thing. Why? Because they're that damn good. They just win. Wait for it. Wait for it. And we've got a good goal. So getting back to some of the new features that we're seeing in the World Cup of Hockey in the AHL and hopefully in the NHL soon is the ref cam. That is fantastic. And I'm not alone here. I've seen a lot of other people on Twitter really liking it, including my regular face, that girl who does all the gifs. She's pretty awesome too. So for those of you who don't know, the ref cam is like point of view, but from the ref's point of view, which is strangely way cooler than the player's point of view. The thing about a player's point of view is they're not on the ice all the time for one, so they're not going to get a lot of the action, and two, their heads are truly on swivels. These guys are looking every which way. A lot of times they're looking people off, so you don't get to see the brilliant play that they made. But the ref's eyes are always on the puck and what's happening around the puck. That's why they have two referees, so the other guy can look at what else is going on the ice. But that one ref who has the camera on, the one that we're seeing all the time, that is some of the best hockey that I have seen. Now, if you haven't heard me geek out on this, I absolutely do geek out on this in The Future of Hockey, which is another podcast that we do that you should totally check out. Go check it out. It's super awesome. Anyways, this is something that I think we're going to see a lot of. As a matter of fact, the only reason we're not seeing a lot of it is money, broadcast rights, people trying to make sure that they still have the dollars. Whoa, hold on. Update. Canada just won the game with 43 seconds left in the game. Canada's up 2-1, and I don't think the other team's coming back. Now, back to the broadcast rights thing. It's a bitch. It really is. They're long-term contracts and everybody has to make that dollar. This is like trying to sell the oil industry on solar power. There's a lot of people out there that would really rather watch their hockey online, and a lot of people are doing it. Even though you get the blackouts, believe me, there's ways around it and people are doing it, allegedly, so I hear. But one day in the near future, all the games are going to happen on the internet, which means we're going to be able to do things interactively, like turn those things on and off that we want to do. It's going to be awesome, people. I'm telling you. And not only are we going to see ref cam, we're going to have the option of picking the ref we want to watch from, or the player we want to watch from, or the goalie we want to see the game from, or which camera all around the ice we want to see that from. A couple of last thoughts. One, Halak was way better than I thought he would be. I think he's way better than a lot of people thought he would be. And it's interesting, especially if you're a GM, to see these guys go into a different mode when they're in a tournament versus a long NHL season. I don't know if it's locker room chemistry or what it is, but there's definitely a lot of guys who are driving GMs crazy out there because they play their best hockey when they're playing for their country and not for their teams in the NHL. And ironically, the game just ended. As I'm ending this podcast, congratulations to Team Canada and of course, Matt Duchene. And honestly, congratulations to all the teams. It was a really good tournament, especially North America had a great showing. Bummer if you're Team Europe, but you know what? They did better than anybody thought that they would do. It was a really cool tournament to watch. World Cup hockey for the win. Stay awesome.